This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala ali Muhammad kama sallaita ala Ibrahim wa ala ali Ibrahim innaka hamidun majid. Allahumma bika asbahna wa bika amsayna wa bika nahya wa bika namut wa ilayka an-nushur. Bismillahilladzi la yadurru ma'asmihi shay'un fil ardi wala fis sama'i wa huwa as-sami'ul alim. Raditu billahi rabba wa bil islami dina wa bi Muhammadin nabiyya. Allahumma zidni ilman nafi'ah wa rizqan tayyiba wa amalan mutaqabbala. Allahumma adqilna jannatak wa ajirna minan nar. Rabbana atina fid dunya hasana wa fil akhirati hasana wa qina azaban nar. Sallallahu ala Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in walhamdulillahi rabbil alamin. Amin ya rabbil alamin. All praise due to Allah rabbil alamin for his mercy, for his blessing, for his guidance. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us among the people who are trying our best to purify our inner self so that we are prepared to meet our Lord Allah rabbil alamin anytime. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive all the sins that we have committed, whether we do it secretly, openly, minor or a major sin. Ameen. Brothers and sisters, alhamdulillah, with the blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we are able to be together from time to time to try our level best to seek the blessing of Allah rabbul alameen by attending classes that teach us what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala want us to do and what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam have taught his ummah to become the best among the best. Brothers and sisters, we were informed that we have sisters, our jama'ah, whose mother just passed away yesterday. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. From Allah, all of us came, and to Allah, we have to return. Let us make a humble prayer for her soul, Zaytun binti Maidin, who was invited by Allah from yesterday morning. So may Allah bless her, inshallah. I'll recite this prayer. We hope all of us will follow me to recite this short prayer. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم اغفر لها وارحمها وعافيها واعف عنها وأكرم نزولها وواسع مدخلها واغسلها بالماء والثلج والبرد ونقيها من الخطايا كما ينقى الثوب الأبيض من الدنس. اللهم أبدلها دارا خيرا من دارها وأحلا خيرا من أحلها وزوجا خيرا من زوجها. اللهم أدخلها جنتك وأجرها من عذاب القبر وعذاب النار. اللهم اغفر لحينا وميتنا شاهدنا وغائبنا وصغيرنا وكبيرنا وذكرنا وأنثانا. اللهم من أحييته منا فأحيه على الإسلام ومن توفيته منا فتوفه على الإيمان اللهم لا تحرمنا أجرها ولا تدلنا بعضها ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار وصلى الله على محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين والحمد لله رب العالمين آمين يا رب العالمين. Brother and sister, as fellow Muslim, male or female, when we are aware that some of the Muslim brother and sister pass away at any time, at anywhere, the minimum that we can do for them is to make a dua. If you are able to perform the funeral prayer for them, you get one qirat, the reward of the Mount of Uhud in Medina. And if you are able to follow the funeral until the graveyard, you get two qirat, two Mount of Uhud. It's a huge reward. But for those who don't have the opportunity to even to participate in the funeral prayer, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive their sin by we asking Allah to forgive their sins. The Prophet ﷺ said, "Istaghfiru li'aqiqum, was'aluhu tasbith, fa'innahu al-an yus'al." When somebody passed away, the minimum that we should do is may Allah forgive their sins. Istaghfiru li'aqiqum, and we ask Allah to make them steadfast with the answer for the munkar and nakir in the grave. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive the sin, not only the sin of the disease, the sin of the family, wa alaykum salam wa rahmatullah, the sin of those who are living among us, and any one of our family members who have passed away before us, the sin of those who are present today in our Sunday class, and those who are absent for a good reason, and the sin of the young and the old and male and female. We need Allah's forgiveness because we know that we do commit sins almost every day. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept our prayer. Ameen. And we know what Allah has said in the Quran about death. When death comes to any one of us, no one can escape. Whether you are healthy, wealthy, young, old, you are very sick, when the time comes, we just have to go. And Allah reminds us with few other ayah, وَلَا تَزِرُ وَازِرًا وَازِرَةٌ وِزْرَ أُقْرَى. Nobody will carry the sin of another person. Everyone will be responsible to their own deeds and their own sins. In other ayah, Allah said, وَأَلَيْسَ لِلْإِنسَانِ إِلَّا مَا سَعَى. Human will never get except what they earn when they were alive. We have tried our best to be a good Muslim. We have given our children the best education and best advice so that our children become righteous children. Whether they become righteous or not, you have done your part by reminding them, guiding them, teaching them, you will sure be rewarded by Allah Rabbul Alameen. When they become righteous, then you will get the ongoing reward. Everything that they do that is good, you get your share without decreasing their shares. This is the reward from Allah to us as His mercy for those who do righteous deeds. There's a lot of ayah in the Quran remind us about what we can do and what we can't do. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam remind his ummah, Iza mata ibnu Adam, when the children of Adam pass away, in qata'a amalu, everything is cut off from him and this life. He has nothing to do with this world anymore. Neither he will come back anymore. Then the Prophet said, only three things, wa alaikum salam rahto, matters. Three things is sure to benefit every one of us, if even after we pass away. Number one, sadaqatin jariyah. Means whatever property, sadaqah, donation, contribution, charity that we get involved when we are still alive. Number two is ilm yuntafa'u bi. We may have very minimum wealth. We can't donate this and that. We don't have the money. But if you have knowledge and you share your knowledge with others, you teach somebody Al-Fatiha, example, each time that person recite Fatiha, you will get the reward from Allah, Rabbul Alameen. To show you that not only people who have money can benefit, yeah, and can get reward from Allah, but people who don't have money also can get benefit by sharing their knowledge with others. And the third one, waladan salih, yad'u lahu, righteous children, pray for them. If you don't have your own children, you have adopted children, you have sponsored children to be a good child, a good daughter, and good son, you still will be rewarded accordingly. That is what the Prophet ﷺ reminded his ummah. Brothers and sisters, before we continue with the book Knowing Allah, let me share with you this last ayah in Suratul Fajr. Suratul Fajr is talking about time, morning. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is reminding us and telling us, Ya ayyatuhan nafsul mutma'inna. Allah is calling the soul, the peaceful soul, the soul that have attained tranquility. We have our soul with us, but our soul is not at peace, very disturbed because of the environment, because of money, because of sickness. So our soul is not at peace, worried about this, worried about that. Especially when we commit sins, we get more worried. How can you be sure that you have a peaceful soul? You remember, I did remind all of you to memorize one hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Kullu muslim ala muslim haramun damuhu wa maluhu wa irdu. Every Sunday class, I never miss to remind myself and all the good brothers and sisters with the reminder of Allah. وَلَا تَمُوتُنَّ إِلَّا وَأَنْتُمْ مُسْلِمُونَ. Make sure that we will never die until we have submit to Allah. Until we are a Muslim. And Allah has said in the Quran, يَا أَيَّتُهَا النَّفْسُ الْمُطْمَئِنَّ. A Muslim believer is a person who have peace in their soul. When you have peace, you always bring peace to others. But if you say, yeah, I have peace, but you cause a lot of unrest to others, there is no peace. This ayah revealed when Abu Bakr, the first friend of the Prophet, yeah, was with him. Abu Bakr was with the Prophet ﷺ, and these verses was revealed. Have something to do with Abu Bakr, who is a man who are very loyal, very sincere, very committed and obedient to Allah's command and to the teaching of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. He was a rich man. If you look at his history, he is more learned, richer than Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when worldly thing is concerned. But he was a very humble man, sincere, committed, and he was always there for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Good time, bad time, he was not absent at all. In return, normal people like us, who don't have a real peace inside us, and that's why, even we have some peace in the beginning, with a little trial, the peace is gone. We started to feel very unrest, confused, because we don't really attain nafsul mutma'inna yet. When you don't have nafsul mutma'inna, meaning we are having a lot of nafsul ammara bisu. That means we have this very destructive desire, feeling, that we always entertain anything that is negative. We forget all the positive things that we have learned, we have shared together, as family members, as husband and wife, as children and parents. This is nafsul ammara bisu, very destructive desire. They don't care. Very selfish desire. Because they don't have peace, they are not going to make to honor the peace of others. And that's why the Prophet said, if you are a Muslim and you say that I have peace, then you are sure to bring peace to others. You don't cause unrest to people. You don't backbite. You don't gossip. You don't slander. Or you don't even entertain all these negative things. Why? Because we ourselves are not perfect. We have a lot to do to correct ourselves. And our first important responsibility is not to correct others first. It is to save our soul and our immediate family. Qu anfusakum wa ahlikum nar. Allah said to this soul, if we have this soul already, alhamdulillah, and you can feel it, brother and sister, if you said that I have a nafsul mutma'inna, you are sure to honor the peace of others. You bring peace to others too. Oh, you who have attained nafsul mutma'inna, the peaceful soul, irji'i ila rabbik. Then Allah said, come back to me. That's why when you look at what is happening today, good people seems to go back to Allah faster. Even in the movie, you see, all the bad guys seem to have a long life. The good guy seems to go back to Allah. Good guys seem to die first. So people who don't want to die early, they try to make sure they are bad guy. It's because good guy always die early. So it's better I'd be a bad guy. Early or not is a matter of time. In the eye of Allah, one day in the day of judgment is equivalent to 50,000 years in this world. One day. So none of us even live for one day. In other hadith, the Prophet ﷺ said, As-sa'a fil jannah yusawi 130 sanawat fil ard. The meaning of the saying, the Prophet. An hour in Jannah is equivalent to 130 years lifespan in this world. None of us even live for 1 hour. Because most of us, maximum 85 years, maybe. The rest, sweet 40s. Alhamdulillah, still very sweet, alhamdulillah. So time is important, but don't compare your time here with the time that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have fixed for all of us. Allah is addressing, calling upon the people who have attained nafsul mutma'inna, come back to me. In what form? Radiyatan. Meaning, you must prepare to come back. You don't feel that, oh, I'm not ready. I don't want to go to see Allah yet. I'm not ready. You must be ready. Mardiyatan. Radiyatan. Mardiyatan. That means you are so pleased to yourself and you are here to please Allah. And that's why we are talking about knowing Allah, how to please Him. Is to follow what He wants us to do. We have tried our best to follow, but in the same time, we still entertain nafsul ammara bisu, all the negative things. And then Allah said to us, we hope that this is what we will receive from Allah before we die and when we are resurrected in the day of judgment. We need to hear this call. Fadkhuli fi ibadi. Now Allah is saying, come back to me. When you are pleased with Allah, Allah is pleased with you, Allah will say, I want you to enter among the righteous people. I want you to be among the righteous group in the day of judgment. No more with anybody that you are not happy with. No more among the sinners, the gossiper, the slanderer. Because Allah is not pleased with that group of people. So Allah will never put you with that group of people anymore. فَدْخُلِي فِي ibadi, come and be among my righteous servant. And that's why we must always choose to be among the righteous people. We do not want to waste our time to be just with any building. We have no time to waste. We want to spend our life wisely. So that we are being reminded how to purify ourselves to be a better person from time to time. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to summon us in the day of judgment and say, فَدْخُلِي فِي ibadi, come and enter among my servant so that وَدْخُلِي جَنَّتِي. This is the invitation of Allah. Allah will say, when you are among these righteous people, I will say, enter my paradise. This will be said to everyone at the time of death and the day of judgment. where Allah will command the angels of death to give glad tidings, good news to the believer at his time of death. Meaning, if you have attained nafsul mutma'inna, you are trying your best to please Allah, knowing what Allah wants you to do, and you try your best to do it, knowing what Allah said, don't do, you stay away, Allah will be very pleased with you. And in the day of judgment, before you die, Allah will send the angel to come and inform you that you are among the righteous servant of Allah. You will be invited by Allah to enter His paradise. Can you imagine, brother and sister, when you are going to depart from this world and this message was sent to you? How do you feel? How do you feel? Don't know what to say. You just don't know what to say. There's nothing to say anymore. You will feel so happy, rested, nothing to worry. If somebody is going to tell you, don't worry, you are going to be a millionaire. Do you think you are worried to be a millionaire? You are not going to worry to be. You're just waiting when the money is going to come to me. But this is Allah's guarantee. And when you are resurrected again, Allah will call you again and invite you to go to His Jannah. That is the most happy news that everybody is waiting for. This ayah was revealed while Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu was sitting with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So he said to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, there is nothing better than this. This is how Abu Bakr responds. This ayah is so simple, but to Abu Bakr, there is nothing better than this ayah. Meaning, is there anything better than going to paradise? Nothing. Then the Prophet ﷺ replied, Ama innahu sayuqalu laka haza. Allahu Akbar walillahi alhamd. The Prophet is telling Abu Bakr, this will indeed be said to you. Why Abu Bakr get this special kind of blessing from Allah? Why? Why was he so special? What is the title that the Prophet given to Abu Bakr? As-Siddiq. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar lillahi. A man who never say anything except what is right. Anything doubtful he don't entertain. Never won his faith. He shake. Even he was being pressured by anybody, mashallah, because he had the peaceful heart. Allahu Akbar. Never he lied, never he betrayed anybody, never he cheat, never once he create fitna to anybody. There is Abu Bakr, As-Siddiq. And his loyalty to the Prophet is not just as a person, it's to his teaching. Even the Prophet was not there anymore, never once he do anything, say anything against the saying of the Prophet. If the Prophet said, Da ma yuribuka, إلى ما لا يريب. Stay away from gray area. He will stay away. He don't want to entertain. لا ضرر ولا ضرار. Don't do anything or say anything that destroy yourself, your good self, and you may destroy others. من حسن المرء تركه ما لا يعني. The Prophet even said, if you want to know whether you are a good Muslim, a good person, stay away from anything that do not concern your iman, do not benefit you. Stay away. Yesterday we were sharing with our new sisters and brothers why Surah Kafirun is so important. Because Suratul Kafirun at the end of the ayah is what? Lakum dinukum waliyadin. You have your way, we have our way. The kuffar, they don't value certain thing, but we value. We value the familyhood, the brotherhood, the jama'ah that we have developed, we value that. But the kuffar don't value, but they work together for the benefit of their world. They work together to destroy the good people. Iraq was destroyed. Every day you see young people killed, innocent people was killed. It was done by who? Who caused them? It's so-called the outsiders. And every day children is suffering. But how can we have time to waste to create problem among fellow Muslims? We feel very sad. There's no peace in the Muslim heart today. Everybody is looking into one small mistake, they will pin you down. Scholars become very negative, just attacking another scholars. You don't have this in other religion. They have their own problem, but they do not do that because they know it won't benefit them. It's a waste of time, waste of energy. But we love to do that. If you receive any of this mail going on, just erase it. Don't read that, don't forward it. Because the more you keep this message in your phone, you may be questioned by Allah. Anything negative, erase. Anything negative, erase. You have no time. Any reminder about Allah, keep. Any reminder from Prophet, keep. Make you have more peace. Have any one of us experienced heartbroken? You know what the meaning of heartbroken? Can our heart be broken? If your heart is broken, will you still be alive? But we all have broken heart. So, brothers and sisters, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the right intention to do the right thing, to say the right word, and to be in the right environment. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect all of us from further fitan. Ameen. Today we should be in page 19. Yeah? It's page 19 today. Two of our sisters who always here to confirm is not here. Sister Aisha, Sister Rohani, may Allah bless both of them. And also we have a sister who passed away, a revert. But it so happened that we were not around, but alhamdulillah, the funeral prayer was conducted here. The only thing that we feel a bit sorry, a bit sad, their family members who are not yet Muslim is more than the people who performing the funeral prayer. That was very sad. We hope in the future when we have this kind of thing, when there is a message been sent around, please try to respond. I don't blame anyone who did not turn up. Maybe the information was not well shared. But in the future, a lot of people are not aware. I was not here too. I was in Penang at that time. I was informed that there was a funeral, quite a last minute arrangement. She's a revert. So then our van, alhamdulillah, our team was there already ready. But it so happened that we thought that somebody will do it, someone will arrange it. Then they pass it to us. Some of the team may have sent some info around, but maybe it reached a lot of people a bit late. So may Allah also forgive her soul. Ameen. Anything good in the future, brother and sister, any one of us who have time, please respond. Please respond. We may not know when is our time. So when our time comes, may Allah make it easy for others to also respond to the funeral prayer. Ameen. Brothers and sisters, based on my record, today it should be on page 19. Yes, Allah's names and qualities. Allahu Akbar. Now we are trying to learn how to know Allah better. It's like a person who say, I know you better, but I don't remember your name. You don't feel good. But if you say, I remember your name, you feel better. But when there are so many names, sometimes we forgot. There are many ways to know Allah, of course. Knowing Him through His creation. Look at the creation around us, we know there is a Creator. When we see the great things that Allah created in this world, we know a great deal about the Creator. Number one, we know that He is great because He created the great and huge world that we see with our own eyes. Number two, we know that His knowledge is great because He knows exactly what to do. Number three, we know that His mercy is great because He takes care of all of us and all of His creation. He do not just create, but He manage it. Day, night, sunny day, raining day, hot day, cold day, everything, Allah balance it. Allahu Akbar. It's His mercy. Number four, we know that His kindness is great. Because He is kind to all of us and everyone else. When He create a thing, He makes sure that the thing have His provision. All the sea food, fishes and everything, they have their provision in the sea. Even we don't throw any food inside, they will survive. Normally we throw poison inside and we kill them. Most of us, we are very destructive. The fish never throw or jump into the land and throw poison on the fish. No. We are the disaster, destroyer. May the brothers come forward a bit. Yeah. Give space for the latecomer, inshallah. Zakallahu khair for your cooperation. We polluted the ocean. We polluted our land. We polluted the air. Na'uz billah. But Allah, we know that His kindness is great because He is kind to all of us and everyone. He is kind not only to the believer, to everybody. You work for it, you get your share. Even you don't worship Him, He still provides for you. If you do all the haram thing, He still allow you to repent. He still show His mercy. He can just pull one of your vein each time you do something wrong and let you suffer. But no, He just remind you, stop. Don't do this again. Don't backbite. Don't slander. Don't lie. Don't cheat. You still do the same thing. He still remind you again. We have a great man. I consider him a great man because this first experience in my life, meeting an elderly Chinese Buddhist man last Wednesday night in Penang when I was given a lecture. This is my third time meeting him. And this is the night he said, he has told me that he wants to be a Muslim through me. How he was exposed to Islam, where he was a Buddhist from very young until the age of 50. He was exposed because he had committed so much sins. But now he wanted to come back to God. Suddenly he went into the YouTube and he saw Dr. Zakir Naik at Peace TV. About the dialogue between the Christian, between the other faith. But Zakir Naik is not a Malaysian, he is far away. Then on and off you have some promo in Peace TV. Then he saw this Chinese man from Malaysia appeared in the same program. He said, I must look for this man because he's in Malaysia. So now he followed my YouTube again. Then when he met me, he said, I know everything about you. I said, wow, dangerous, man. It's very dangerous, you know everything about me. The day you become a Muslim, what happened to you? You live in the mosque, you were chased away from the masjid, people humiliate you, you keep a little bit, people say that you're like a goat, and then how I answer them and everything. He's been following everything, Allahu Akbar. So last Wednesday night, when after my lecture, he said, I'm ready now to be a Muslim. But I want to ask, can Allah forgive all my sin? I commit so much sins. I commit shirk. Can Allah forgive me? I say, brother, this is not my word. This is Allah's promise. فَمَنْ تَابَ وَآمَنَ وَعَامِلَ عَمَلًا صَالِحًا فَأُولَٰئِكَ يُبَدِّلُ اللَّهُ سَيِّئَاتِهِمْ حَسَنًا وَكَانَ اللَّهُ غَفُورٌ رَحِيمًا. Allah said, whoever repent to Him, come back to Allah and have the right belief and follow up with righteous deeds. Allah is sure to forgive all your sin, but not only He forgive all your past sin, He will replace your sin into good deeds. He will change everything as His mercy and reward for those who come back to Him. Now, brother and sister, I'm not worried about what he's asking, but I'm feeling this man is very concerned about his sins. He wants to know whether his sin will be forgiven. We are not concerned with our sins. We don't even care when we commit sins. Alhamdulillah, we meet Shahada. The second surprise to me is that he has a surname Ang. This Ang is, for Chinese, is always a good sign. Ang Ang. In Chinese, so Ang Pao, or the red color. I said, do you want to have a Muslim name? Yes. What name do you choose? Zakir Hussein Ang. Allah. This man, I tell you, Allahu Akbar. I say, you combine two. Yeah. It's a very powerful name. You see, because of these two men, I became a Muslim. Allahu Akbar. Number five, we know that his wisdom is great. He does things in the best way. Allah Rabbul Alameen. Whatever he planned is the best. And that's why Allah said, wa makaru wa makara Allah, wallahu khairul makirin. People will plan, but Allah also will plan. The plan of Allah is always the best plan. Just you must believe what Allah make halal is the best. What Allah make haram is the worst. Never think anything haram is okay. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala often instructs us to learn and know about Him from His creation. For example, Allah says, أَفَلَا يَنْظُرُونَ إِلَى الْإِبِلِ كَيْفَ خُلِقَتْ وَإِلَى السَّمَاءِ كَيْفَ رُفِئَتْ وَإِلَى الْجِبَالِ كَيْفَ نُصِبَتْ وَإِلَى الْأَرْضِ كَيْفَ سُطِحَتْ. Until the end, in Surah Al-Ghashiyah, will they not look at the camels, how they are created? Now Allah, when He creates something, He do not create for nothing, without a purpose, for play. No, everything there is a reason. This camel is very unique animal of Allah on land. They can travel days after days, even week, without drinking. If we will die. Because Allah make them have an extra tank. And when they drink and they store it. And while they are moving, they will move. That's why Allah said, will they not look at the camels, how they are created? And the sky, how it is raised without pillars. Can you see any pillars holding the sky? Can you have the roof without the pillars? No. But look at the sky of Allah. So widespread, but there is no pillar holding any part of the skies. Who hold it is Allah. And the mountains, how they were erected, how it had been erected, is like a pillar of the earth, not a pillar to the sky. Alhamdulillah, none of us, when you look at the mountain, we curse the mountain. Why are you so high there? Why you stop my other views? We love mountain. No. When you can see the mountains, Allahu Akbar. Chinese have a lot of feng shui. Eh? If you go to Genting, you see a place, you know, where there is a graveyard. Yeah, in a very strategic area, where the background is mountains, and you can see everything. Yeah, nothing stops you from seeing the views. That kind of area will cost you millions to be buried in that place. For a Chinese, they will pay for it, because they want the surrounding, the mountain to be around them. Yeah, to feel good that the coming generation also will become good. And that is their belief. Look at the mountain which Allah has erected, and the earth, how it is spread out. The sky is like a roof. The mountain is just like a pillars on this earth to balance out this galaxy called earth. And the earth was spread out so that it become like a what? Like a floor for us to build things on it. And Allah continue by telling us, الَّذِي خَلَقَ السَّبْعَ السَّمَاوَاتِ تِبَاقًا مَا تَرَى فِي خَلْقِ الرَّحْمَنِ مِنْ تَفَاوُتِ فَرْجِ الْبَصَرَ أَلَا تَرَى مِنْ فُطُورٍ. Glorified is Allah who created seven heaven in layers. تَبَاق سَبْعَ سَمَوَاتِ تِبَاقًا. If you look at the ayah, Allah is telling us there are seven layers of the earth and seven layers of heaven. Now, heaven is not paradise, okay? Somebody call heaven paradise. Paradise is Jannah. Heaven is anything that is above earth. The sky is like a heaven. How many layers? Seven. Saba. Samawati tibaqa. Now we just seen one layer. The one that we can see with naked eye is one. There are six more layers that we have never experienced yet. The earth that we experience only one layer. There are seven layers on this earth. And it's not impossible. You have Loch Ness there, dinosaur there, in the other layers. What human mind imagine, they must have something to refer to. You remember Bermuda Triangle? Malaysian experience once too. Until today, we have one flight disappeared, the mystery flight, until today. Where they went, only Allah knows. Have they went into a different dimension? Only Allah knows. Do they have life in the other layers? Yes. Allah said, وَلَهُ مَنْ فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. When Allah used the word man, means there is a living creation of Allah. So Allah is telling us, who created seven heavens in layers, you do not see in the creation of the most merciful any discrepancy. So look back at the sky. Do you see any weakness in the structure of Allah? No. Anything that Allah created is so perfect. Anything that we come up is never perfect. There's always some defect here and there because we are not the creator. We are part of the creation of Allah. So whatever we do, we have our own weaknesses. Allah, He don't have any weaknesses. Knowing Allah from the Quran, through His book, and the Sunnah of the Prophet, because nobody know Allah better than Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Also, we learn a great deal about Allah from what He told us about Himself in the Quran. I always remind all our good sisters and brothers, no one can really know Allah without going back to His book. His book is here to present Him, to tell us about Him. So if you want to know Allah, you go and read other books, you cannot know Him. You become very confused. To the extent now you don't know Him, you think that you are God. And that's why people always say to me, God is in every one of us. God created all of us. If you say God is in every one of us, that means God is in us, is a problem too. And that's why they have a saying, do you see God? We say, no, then you are blind. So we don't want to be blind. No, I can see. So where is God? Do you see me? Yes. If you can see me, you can see God. They are giving you idea that our Prophet said, Khalaqallahu Adam bisuratihi. They misquote this saying. He said, Allah created Adam in His image. That means by looking at Adam, you see Allah. No. The Prophet is saying, Allah created Adam in the image of Adam. He never said He created Adam with His image, with Allah's image. No. And that's why the Muslim cannot imagine how do Allah look like. Anything that you can imagine that God look like this, He is not Allah. That is the unique of our belief compared with the other believer. They want to imagine God look like something and someone. But Allah said, He do not look like anything. لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٌ. Nothing is like Him. وَلَمْ يَقُلْ لَهُ كُفُوًا أَحَدٌ. So no one can really know about Allah in the way Allah wants us to know Him, except by going back to His book, the Quran. And from what the Prophet ﷺ told us in his hadith. These are the only two ways to learn about Allah precisely. You cannot go wrong. But when you are out from these two guidance, you cannot be right. If Allah said this book, Quran, la raiba fi, there's no doubt in it, and you still have doubt, you have problem. And when Allah said, follow my messenger, you choose not to follow the messenger, you are lost. This is how we learn Allah's excellent names and supreme qualities. Asma'il Husna. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala excellent names and supreme qualities allow us to know Him better, deeper. They tell us what we need to know about Him. A lot of Muslims lately, alhamdulillah, those who are in the Muslim school, madrasa, they memorize Asma al-Husna. They can sing the song of Asma al-Husna. Yeah. But that is not the way Allah and the Prophet want us to know His name. By just memorize His name and then try to sing the song Al-Asma Al-Husna. Not just that. It's good to memorize and know. Yeah? The excellent names Allah's name are called the excellent name, Asma al-Husn, because they are all good and wonderful. And Allah said, وَلِلَّهِ الْأَسْمَاءُ الْحُسْنَى فَدْعُوهُ بِهَا. To Allah belong the excellent names, so call on Him by them. When you want to call upon Allah, don't forget His name. When you ask His mercy, don't forget the attribute of Allah, the merciful, the all-forgiving. When you seek for His guidance, don't forget Huwa Hadi. He is the one who gave guidance. If you ask Allah for His provision, don't forget Huwa Razzaq. He is the provider. It's very important. This means that we should use Allah's excellent name when we supplicate to Him. When we make dua. Sometimes we make dua, Allahumma irhamma yirhamna. Anta rahim. You are the one who show mercy. Shower mercy to those who show mercy to another person. Oh Allah, you are the one who give guidance. Give guidance for those who seek your guidance. Allah's excellent name are found in the Quran and authentic saying of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, known as hadith. Nobody is allowed to make up names for Allah. You don't give Allah new names. Whatever Allah talk about Himself in the Quran, that's how you have to address Allah. Not more than that. Whenever the Prophet has talked to us, that's how you have to address, and not more than that. The number of names, the excellent names are very many. Only Allah knows how many they are. Allah taught us more than 100 of His name. We should learn as many of them as possible in order to know Him better. Among Allah's name that we know, there are 99 that are very special. But not only Allah have 99 names, more than that. In the Quran, Allah mentioned the name of the Prophet. How many names of the Prophet been mentioned? In the Quran. How many names? Hmm. 25 names. How many prophet and messenger been sent by Allah? More than that. 124,000. 313 messengers. But enough, 25. The main one. The more if mentioned, the more we forget. Can you imagine if you've got 120 4,000 names in the Quran, how thick the Quran is going to become? Just names. Allah make it easier. You don't have to remember everything. The name of Allah is more than 99. Even the 99 is the special name of Allah. And Abu Hurairah tell us that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, إِنَّ لِلَّهِ تِسْعَةً وَتِسْعِينَ مِئَةً إِلَّا وَاحِدًا مَنْ أَحْصَاهَا دَخَلَ جَنَّةً. Allahu Akbar. وَلِلَّهِ الْحَمْدُ. Surely Allah has 99 names, one less than 100. Whoever count them, أَحْصَاهَا, will enter Jannah. Now, counting Allah's 99 name does not mean only to count their number. There's a number 99 there. It also means knowing the names, understand and believing in them, behaving in a way arising from our belief in them. For example, We know that Allah is Sami' all hearing. We understand that He hears everything from everyone at all time. What you whisper in your heart is in the knowledge of Allah. We would then be careful not to lie or say bad thing, gossip, bad bite, create fitna. We would only say what please Allah. Why there are so many lies going on? So many rumors going on is because we don't believe that Allah is all hearing. We thought that Allah don't hear us. The guy don't hear us, so we can say anything we want behind the back. That's why the Prophet said, silence is golden. We would only say what pleased Allah. In this way, would have properly counted His name, Allah. That means you believe in Huwa Sami'un. You are worried that Allah is listening to what you say about something that is wrong, that displeases Him. If we say that Allah is all-knowing, can you hide from Allah? If you know that Allah is all-seeing, can you think that you're in the dark room, you off all the light, lock your door inside, and you can do funny thing? Yes, if you think that you Allah don't see me now, I'm in the dark. Yeah, nobody know now. That is why we have a lot of problem. So we are all big hypocrite. In front, pretend like an angel. Behind, you are like a devil. But who knows? Allah knows. Allahu Akbar wa lillahi alhamd. It's just like today. Do we believe Allah is the provider for all of us? We do believe, but you see, we have problems. The way we handle our life today, as though that our life depends on somebody. It's like our rizqi belong to some country. They are the one who dictate. You don't follow me, I will make you suffer. What is this? This is very, very wrong for us to believe. We must believe in Allah more than anyone else. We must obey Allah's command more than any other command, but today, no. We should be careful about the list of 99 names that is often hung on the wall or put on the inside cover of some books. Yeah, alhamdulillah, we have a lot of poster, 99 names here and there, CDs, 99 names. In my room also, I have somebody donated a carpet, 99 names. Alhamdulillah. It's good. Then to look at the net and remember Allah's 99 names. Then to remember other things. Of course, it's always better. Yeah. Some of those names are correct, while others are not. Sometimes they are things that is not correct, but we thought that it was correct. The correct name come from the Quran or authentic hadith. The incorrect one come from a weak hadith that mixed what is right with what is wrong. Yeah, normally. Yeah. So we should teach the people around us to be careful with that list and to avoid hanging it in their houses or masjid. Another problem with that list is that some people hang it thinking that by that they have counted the 99 names. This is very wrong. Counting the name means how much than this, means more than this. It means living all of our life according to the guidance of the name of Allah, as we explained earlier. And this is some of the true excellent names of Allah Rabbul Alameen that we all can go through from time to time, insha'Allah. Brothers and sisters, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the right understanding about the hadith that the Prophet just mentioned that I share with you. From Abi Huraira, Inna lillahi tis'atan wa tis'in asma mi'atan illa wahida man ahsaha dakhla jannah. So don't think that by mentioning, memorize, counting 99 names of Allah, you'll go to paradise. No. Yarhamkumullah. You must make sure that you really understand and honor. If Allah is merciful, should you show mercy? If Allah is forgiving, should you forgive? If Allah is kind, should you treat others with kindness? You must ask yourself. And even the Prophet forbid us to call ourselves with certain names that don't belong to us. One of the hadiths that I'd like to share with all of you today, the Prophet ﷺ did say, in the day of judgment, Allah will come and call upon, I think not you and me, we are not in that level, alhamdulillah, shukr. You know who Allah will call? Allah will call, Anal Malik, Aynal Muluk al-Ard. That group of people will be summoned by Allah. Alhamdulillah, we are not in that category. Allah, literally the word means, I am the king. Where are all the kings of the world? So calling this name Malik is a very powerful name. If you want Abdul Malik, yeah. That's why the name that the Prophet loved most, Abdullah, Abdurrahman, Abdurrahim. A very humble name because you have the Abdu in front. But the Malik, Muluk al-Ar. Muluk, plural of Malik. Yeah. May Allah protect us, inshallah. Yeah. Because the danger is we thought that when we also like, you know, so-called God, it's like Pharaoh. Pharaoh challenged the Prophet. You can give, you said your God can give life and take life. So he called some prisoner, called the officer, bring some prisoner out. Now I also can give life and I also can take life. These two, three guys, I don't like them, kill them. I kill them, I take their life now. These few guys, I say, forgive them, I give them life. What is the difference? Wow. This guy also very smart. He dared to argue. So when they said, the Prophet said, but God raised up the sun from the east and set on the west. Can you bring the sun from the west and let the sun set? Of course. When you talk about that level, he just cannot say anything. He thought that he was smart to bring the prisoner to show that I also give life, I also can take life. And there was a history in the Israeliyat. Nimrud was asking one the Prophet, how do paradise look like? Tell me, how do paradise look like? Oh, paradise, we have all the river flowing, the trees, all the jewelry, the diamond, the rubies, all the Ur'ain and so on. Okay, he command his people, yeah, to build paradise. But Allah is so great. Before he can even enter, the angel was there waiting for him. This is the paradise that he imagined. But how can you imagine paradise like what Allah has said in the Quran? The Prophet has told us, what you see in paradise is eyes that have never seen. The sound of paradise that no ear have heard before. And whatever fruit in paradise look the same, but it tastes almost nothing you have tasted in this life before. Allahu Akbar. You just make so, ya ayyatuhan nafsul mutmainna irji'i ila rabbiki radiyatan mardiyatan fadkhuli fi ibadi wadkhuli jannati. That's all you have to work towards, brother and sister. Make sure all of us have the peaceful heart. Peaceful heart will make you a very positive person who just think what is right, very positive in your word, in your feeling, in your approach, everything. And make you very careful in what you want to say. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us that understanding, inshaAllah. And may Allah help us to attain nafsul mutma'inna. And may Allah help us to overcome nafsul ammara bisu. It's time. We have been learning years after years. And if we still don't understand, something is wrong with our feeling. Something is very wrong. But again, you remember I did mention earlier, many times ago, the most powerful tools that can safeguard our iman, our deeds, not to turn into ashes and it will be wiped over by Allah, is be sincere in whatever you say, whatever you do. Only sincerity is the most powerful tools to protect ourselves from being a victim to the Satan. I don't know if you have seen a video clip, not in Malaysia, it happened in China. This is just to share with you how people show their gratitude to Allah. How thankful are they to Allah. This guy went into the restaurant. You know, China restaurant, normal restaurant is not so spread out, you know. Small table. These two, a couple was eating, and then he just sat down there, take off his coat, trying to order some food. Suddenly, this couple left. This couple left, and they left food, uneaten food. This guy who was supposed to order some food was looking in front of him. There are two plates there. And there's so much food. And the couple have gone and paid and then left. He changed his mind to order food. Because the food is there already. No, he don't want to waste. He started to put some sauce here and then. And just move the plate, you know, and bowl closer to him, and he finished the food. So other neighbor were looking at him. This man don't look like a beggar. He came in with a coat and everything. While they're waiting for him to order, he don't make any new order. And after that, he just stand up, wear back his jacket. Now he don't pay because he didn't order food. He don't have to pay any extra. But he take out his money. There was a donation box there. He put into the donation box. I don't have to pay because this food has been paid. But see, my intention here is to eat. And God has given me. I don't want to waste. The food is clean there. But I still want to do something good. I donated the money. This caught everybody by surprise. You still have this kind of man around the earth. Normally, I don't think we would do that. Especially if the food is halal. We are not used to it. But this man, Allahu Akbar. Sometimes Allah sends unique personality. They are not so particular about things. Oh, when he was thinking all in the menu, suddenly two plates is there. Close the menu, move the plate in front of him. Bismillah. But sometimes when you look at some so-called Muslim community, the way we waste our food, only Allah knows. Na'unz billah. You cannot imagine this kind of food. You can feed millions of the people in Africa. Or we just waste. And Allah don't like people to waste. Inna al-mubazzirina kanu ikhwani shayateen. This is kufur nikmat. Wastage is kufur nikmat. Waste your time is a kufur nikmat towards the time. Waste your money is kufur nikmat towards the risk. May Allah protect all of us. Amin. Now we open for Q&A. Fatafaddal. Back to the sister first, if there's any question from the sisters. No question from the sisters. Any question from the brother? Yes. Pass the mic to the brother.
Assalamu alaikum, Shalit.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh.
I got two questions. Just first one is the timing, to fine-tune the timing of prayers.
Timing of prayers, okay.
See, like Maghrib and all, you know, there's a timing where before it darkens the sky, not up to the Isha. And Isha's time also, it's not right up to the morning, or is it somewhere in between? Okay. So just to explain the timing of the things as well. And the second question is, recently I saw it in one of the social media, the Chinese, in China, the rules and regulations are very tightened, where you can't even pray, you can't even fast, kind of things. I don't know whether you heard that or not.
You can't pray, you can't fast.
You can't, they can't even let you fast.
They don't let you fast.
And they don't let you fast.
Yeah, the fasting thing, yes, we are exposed to. But the unique part of China, not the whole of China, at certain cities, provinces, they do not want them to fast if they are still working. Want to fast something very personal when you go home. But you are working in the daytime, fasting is only in the daytime. If you look at what happened in China, it's nothing to do with religion so much. It's more on political things. Because they have been too demanding, caused a lot of problem to the government, so they start to put pressure. But in other provinces, thing that I am aware of when I get info from our contacts, even like in Yunnan. Yunnan is the best example. Yunnan is one of the provinces that even the central government do respect the Muslim there. Because the Muslims are not troublemaker. They work very hard, and that's what Chinese government love. They want you to work hard. There is a city in Yunnan known as the City of Steels, where all the steel is being produced from this area. All like industrial, you know, city. I've been there before. And amazing, majority of the industry owned by Muslims. And the Muslims work very hard and produce all the things that the government need to have to develop the country. So the government have no problem. But if you're trying to create problem, unrest, Yeah. Of course, the government will put more pressure. That is the thing that I am aware of. Yeah. Not all of China. So that's why the Muslim must always learn. Go back to the history of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. When no government is stopping you and your right to do what you believe, don't create tension. Don't create unrest and demand unnecessary. Just do what you can do, and then you carry on with your da'wah so that more people understand the beauty of Islam. Lately, Allah has sent a good foreign ministers from the Saudi government to Europe to address the European partners about what is happening to the world and what the world always say about Islam. It was a very beautiful one. If anybody who have that video clip, just observe, it's very beautiful the way they present it. You know, talk about civilization. Who are the one who brought the civilization to the West? Yeah, the one who really brought all the good civilization from China, back from China, the East, the Middle East. They are the one, the tools that bridge up. But a lot of people have forgotten history. So alhamdulillah, I would say in some country, people, when you use religion as a political platform, then the politician will be very hard on you. But if you just want to practice what you believe without create any unrest to anybody, I don't see they stop you from doing that. I've been to China many times, and when we were in Guangzhou, in Shanghai, in Beijing, no problem, only Xinjiang. Xinjiang province is a hot area where they were fighting for autonomy. And this is politics again. You see? It's just like when people ask, do Saudi allow women to drive? At present, no. Do the Saudi oppress the woman? They say 60% of the women are more highly educated than the men. But the world don't see that. The world just want to see the other side. But they don't really go and see what is happening. But when they said they are not allowing the woman to drive now, have nothing to do with the Islamic law. You don't have hadith say woman cannot drive. You don't have ayat Quran say woman cannot drive. But it is the structure of that society. Every country have their own values. They have their own culture. And the woman don't feel oppressed, because the woman don't have to go through the stress. They don't have to look for parking. They are all driven. You know? Women are more safer than the woman here. You know? Just give you an example. Sometimes when people talk about some political issue, they always want to put Islam down. But in reality, it's not like that. Now, time of prayer, we know, for Maghrib come in when sun set. Isha will end when midnight comes in. Nisful Layl, the Prophet, they said that Isha end at Nisful Layl. Last time we thought Isha will end only when Fajr come in. But the Prophet did mention that Fajr, the Isha end when midnight comes in. Now, midnight, according to Islam, very strong hadith, stronger than Bukhari and Muslim, mutawatir. That the Prophet said, Man qala alayya malam akul faliyatabawak maq'ada minan nar. One. Number two, man kaziba alayya muta'ammidan falyatabawwaq maq'adahu minan nar. These two hadiths, you can easily get in Al-Muwatta from Imam Malik, yeah, where Imam Shafi'i was a student to Imam Malik, where he quoted that the Prophet has said, yeah, by the companions of the Prophet, whoever say something that I did not say. They said, the Prophet said, but the Prophet never said. They just make use of the name of the Prophet to strengthen their words. He put himself in hellfire. The other hadith, the Prophet, whoever lie on my name, that means I never said that, but said, yeah, the Prophet said, he put himself in hellfire. You are not supposed to say something from the Prophet when you are not sure that this is authentic saying of the Prophet. That's why they stay away from any gray area and da'if hadith. They are worried until you have one hadith, the content is correct, but the sanad, the narration, you found some people who are not honest there, not truthful. Then you will look into other hadiths where the content will be the same, but the narration is different. And that's how that hadith will be upgraded. Because the content is the same, but it was narrated from different narration. So you combine all that, and then you find out that it do not contradict the Quran, it did not contradict the authentic hadith of the Prophet, then you can accept. So that level, the standard of da'if have been raised to hasan. This is a field that is good for people who have the time to learn, but the public don't have that knowledge. They don't have that understanding. So there is books in the market today, collection of hadith, false hadith and weak hadith. It's good to have a copy, so at least you can go through. When you are in the gray area, it's better to stay away and just focus on the authentic hadith. Even the authentic hadith, there's so many saying teaching the Prophet, we don't even have the time to follow. So why must you depend on the da'if hadith? That will be my answer, inshallah. Yeah? Let me finish two questions, written question. It is a priority to get married first or to be financially stable first? What do you think? Yeah? Some said both. It's not that you cannot get married when you are not financially stable, because nobody is stable normally, yeah? Especially with the GST and the economy today, you know. And then a lot of youngsters want to get married, but they don't have the means to buy a house or to rent a place by themselves. So they are moving into their parents' place. So their parent is feeling the pinch now, you know. So unless the parent have big house, bungalow, that is different. But in reality, if you feel that marriage is better to protect you, your iman, then go for it. Now, about financial stability, we can work up together, help each other. It's not a really a big deal, yeah? Unless you all want everything, branded thing, then you have problem. It is one of the most important responsibility for a husband to provide nafkah to his wife and children. Of course, we know that it is the responsibility of the man to provide. Yeah, but in the time of the Prophet also, it's been proven that the one who really support the Prophet everything is his wife, Khadijah. Because she have all the money, the Prophet is a very poor man. But the wife is helping. That's why in the Quran said, وَالْمُؤْمِنُونَ وَالْمُؤْمِنَاتْ بَعْدُهُمْ أَوْلِيَا. Male and female, they are helper for each other. If the woman can help, what's nothing wrong, you know. Example, when the man don't even have dowry also he cannot pay, but he loved the woman, Can the woman just lend him some money first for him to go buy a ring? No. Buy a ring, and then later on that ring, the money came from the woman. Why not to help each other? So later on when you have money, pay back. Or you ask the wife to say, halal, huh? There are two ways of doing it. As that Islamically, there is nothing wrong. Yeah? Only culturally, people don't encourage. They are worried. But if you are a father who has extra, why not you share with another extended family? Help them. Nothing wrong. But this thing can be discussed, open for discussion. How to be constantly emotionally attached with Allah, and how to have a good relation with Him, what does it take? Yeah. Now, if you want to be very emotionally attached with Allah, you just, like what we say, you just have to try your best to attain nafsul mutmainna. When you have nafsul mutmainna, that means you are very pleased with what Allah want you to do. You are just love to do what Allah. So emotionally you are very close. You are just happy to please Him. It's like sometimes you love somebody, you love to please that person. But for the right reason, not for the wrong reason. Yeah? How to have a good relation with Him? The best way to have a good relation with Allah is know what Allah wants you to do, just do it. Know what Allah dislikes, stay away. That is the best way. But again, we fail to do that. We know what Allah loves us to be positive, Allah hates us to be negative, but we still entertain a lot of negative things. You know? What does it take? Sincerity, commitment, seriousness, and be consistent in what you learn, you know, you act upon it. And Islam is a very practical religion. Just do what you can do first. You can't make prayer, be patient, don't cause burden to yourself, and don't burden other people. That is how life goes on. Very simple. May Allah bless us, may Allah guide us, brothers and sisters, and may Allah forgive all our wrongdoing. And may Allah protect us from having bad feeling among fellow Muslims. We have no time to do that. We have more things to do because our enemy is planning to destroy us, disunite us. We have to be very, very careful not to be a victim of our number one enemy, Shaitan, Iblis, La'natullah. Ameen. سبحانك اللهم بحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Lastly, brothers, since I forget some important thing, for those who don't have this book, the book is ready. Secondly, we found this kind of thing, yeah? This kind of packet near the toilets. So we know, see how dangerous it. Yeah. Warning. We know that this area is forbidden. Smoking is forbidden. If anybody who is a smoker, please control himself when they're in this area. Yeah, make some jihad. You know when you see this box, that means they are smoking in the toilet. Yeah. May Allah protect us, brother and sister. Yeah.